Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
So we are continuing this series called Overload. Hey, who could tell me the four kind of quadrants we've been talking about, the four things? Anybody remember one? I'll help you out. Our capacity, that was one of them. So strongholds fell into meaning, how we think. And it was what culture teaches us, and then what we think based on our whole perspective on life. So that's what culture teaches us. They could be a good stronghold, but a lot of times we have bad strongholds. That's good. Something else? So we had capacity and meaning. There's two more. No, but it's a P. Has to do with Sabbath. It's P. It's your pace, right? The pace that you go at. And Sabbath, we're trying to learn about rest. Did you guys get the announcement, though? We've picked the day. I realize that it can't work for everyone, but we're going to do July the 11th. July the 11th. Mark it in your calendars. It's so important. And begin to talk to the people that you want to spend Sabbath with. We're not doing it together. But, you know, we have already contacted, I've already told my kids and their significant others, like, we're going to do a day together. We haven't sat down and discussed what that's going to look like. But, man, I'll tell you, we're going to start the service. We're going to worship. We're going to delight in the Lord. And then I'm planning on feasting at some point in that rest period. And I plan on sleeping. And I plan on having a ton of fun. And I plan on coming alive and enjoying it with my family. So make sure you start to plan that. So we have the first one, capacity. Then we have meaning. Thank you. Then we have pace. The last one we haven't talked about is support. I want to talk to you guys today about support, which I believe is probably one of the biggest areas that we have a challenge with. You know, we've talked about a lot of things that we have challenges with. But I really want you to ask yourself the first question. Don't answer it out loud. We know what's in your container. You know what's in your container, I should say. But who else knows what's in your container? Let me ask it another way. This is a little more deep, okay? Are you known? Before you answer, I don't mean does someone know your name. I don't mean do the coworkers recognize you. I don't mean do people know you at church every Sunday. I don't mean the hundreds of friends that you see on Facebook that you feel like you have a connection with, but you really don't. Be real. We connect, we post, we say happy birthday once a year, and we know that because their birthday pops up and we say happy birthday. But are you truly known? Glad you can say that. But maybe I'll read a little more and you see. Does anyone know what keeps you awake at night? Does anyone know the burdens that you carry in silence? Does anyone know the fear that you've never spoken out loud? Does anyone know the struggle that's behind your smile? Does anyone know the story that you tell yourself when you're all alone? Because here's the truth. We can be surrounded by people and still be very unknown. It's reality. You go to work every day and be surrounded by people. And if no one knows what's in your container, how can anyone ever help carry it? I'll jump into part of my story that I've often shared, and then we're going to hit some scriptures. Back in 2017, when basically I had a breakdown, my body shut off. It was a whole series of things that got me to that place. You know, everything from prostatitis and antibiotics and worry and all, you know, it was a perfect storm. One of the things that I was told by people that truly love me, not in here, these are other ministers, I was told to not tell anyone. I was told to keep it quiet. The theory behind it was people cannot see that I struggle. I have to be strong for everyone. I can't struggle. As a minister, I have to have it all together. And if you see me weak, that'll be hard for the congregation. That was the worst advice I could have ever been given. Because I was living alone. And then what ended up happening was Krista carried the weight and those that knew me. But luckily, after I began to shift that, we began to say, no, I can't do that. That is not me, first of all. I don't do it that way. I need to be with people. I need people to know my story. I need people to walk with me through it. I had, obviously, my family knew, and little by little, Claude would come. We'd go for a walk. Because I'm not sure today I'd be here if you don't have people to carry things with you. It's a hard world. When I was preparing this message, it's really interesting how much our culture has shifted. Now, we've talked about technology and AI and, you know, a scary stat that's being talked about right now, and I actually fully understand this stat. Did you know that AI is becoming more of a confidant to people than people are anymore? That people are so lonely and afraid to tell people things that AI becomes the source that they go to share. Don't get me wrong, AI actually can be a source of dialogue. I do it. I talk to AI when I'm driving. I brainstorm with AI. But if AI ever becomes more close than my wife, there's something wrong. And it's one thing to use it as a tool, a business tool. It's another thing when that becomes your friend. But here's how much culture has changed. I want you to think back to a time we didn't live in. You could read about it when you read the Bible, when when the Israelites were crossing the land. You could imagine what their world was like. They would live in tents. They would set up tents after a day if they hiked. They would set up together, often in circles and in different ways where they could do community together. Even if you would look at villages from before, often you would find people, the women would come together to cook meals together for the village. If you think about not too long ago, men would get together to build barns together. You know those barn-raising things they'd have? Yeah, it's hard to remember because I remember in my younger years seeing it. But community was a place where people did things together. I was researching about, they didn't have washing machines back then. So what would the ladies do? They would have days where they would go together to wash their clothes in the river. And you can imagine, think through what this would look like. All the ladies are in there, they're washing their clothes. Do you think they're silent? After they get done complaining, what do you think's going on there? Sharing. Hey, you know what's happening? Did you know that so-and-so was ill? I did not know so-and-so was ill. We need to get together and make sure she's okay. There would be this communication that would be happening. They'd be telling stories. They would be laughing. So-and-so, it would be a bit of a gossip time, right? Did you know so-and-so, they started to date? But I'll tell you, it'd be real relationships and real talk. And then often they would go back, and like I said, they didn't eat together all the time, but there was a communal eating a lot where they would sit across from the table and they would laugh together and share stories together. But here's the thing, because a community is so close like that, they would love together, they would grieve together, they would have joy together. They would celebrate when somebody fell in love and got married. They would all mourn when their loved one passed away. It was community. Somebody had a need, they would do it together. Something broke, they would work on it together. Now I want you to take our society. We are the most independent society in history. We don't tell people when we have needs. We've actually been told the story that it is tough. It is okay. It is actually better if you can carry everything on your own. We wash our clothes alone. We often eat alone or in front of a TV or in front of electronics. It seems like as men, we got to build things, you know, and not tell anybody. Instead of doing it together, we build things on our own because we can do it on our own. We have tools for everything. Our culture is completely isolated. And we wonder why the research proves depression has risen, anxiety has risen, suicide has risen. We are the most connected generation in the world and the most alone generation in the world. Isn't that crazy? Most men specifically cannot identify a close person that they tell things to across the world. They don't share. And I would imagine it's becoming even more with women today too. It's increasing. This stuff grieves me. That's why if you wonder, you're like, why do you have us talk with each other? Because my hope is that somebody will connect in here. That somebody will have a friendship that maybe they never had before. That somebody after will go out and eat and put down their phones and have a conversation. That's my hope. And you know, it's not even my idea. It's God's idea. Turn your Bibles to Genesis. Imagine that, Genesis. I was laying in bed in the middle of the night. There was nobody there to tell why I was in the middle of the night awake, because my wife was sleeping. How many get revelations in the middle of the night? And you're like, please stop, brain. So once in a while on a good day, if I wake up in the middle of the night, I say, okay, God, do you want to show me something or am I just awake because of my brain? And this night, because I was thinking about this sermon, Genesis 1, go to the very end, verse 31. I had never really thought about this before. Genesis 1, 31 says this, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Everything was made, even man at this point was made. And he looked at it and he said, it is very good. And before anything else, before we read anything else, I want you to understand, he goes through and he actually gives man capacity. He gives man meaning. He says, I want you to work the garden. I want you, he actually brings all the animals in front of him and Adam gets to name all the animals. Like Adam has purpose. He has meaning. He gets to run in the garden with God. Okay, did you catch that? He gets to run in the garden with God because God shows up in the cool of the day. What's missing? Nothing. It is really good. But this weird thing happens. 2:15, Genesis 2:15. Nope, I lied. Thank you. And then the Lord God, verse 18. And then the Lord God said, it is not good. What? He just said everything was good. Well, what happened was, I'm just going to read, paraphrase for a minute. He got some emails from Adam. And Adam was emailing, listen, you know, you got me working. I got purpose. This is great. I love the garden, by the way. Sweet. You know, connecting with you. Cool of the day. Awesome. But I'm alone. None of that happened. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Like, you think about that for a second. Everything was good. He hears God. He's in the garden. He's got purpose and meaning. But God looks before man thinks of it, and he says, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. Now, of course, we use that at marriages all the time. It's not good for man to be alone. We want to see people get married, of course. But that's not exactly what he was just referring to. He was literally in that short sentence saying, listen, I didn't create slaves. I didn't create workers. I created relationships. And this man needs a relationship. I'm convinced that in our DNA, in our the way God has made us, we are only good, we only flourish when we have deep relationships with people. Any amens? But we have a world that is trying to keep us from having deep relationships with people. We have a world that keeps us so occupied and busy. The thing is, we're going to read Galatians in a second. It talks about carrying each other's burdens. But if you don't know people, nobody can carry your burden. And if people don't know what you are burdened with, they can't even help you. And if we buy the lie and we have, you know, the lie that we have to be tough and we should not tell people, then who could ever help us? I love when I ask people, you're going through a lot here. So who's helping you? No, I don't ask people for help. Oh, why? I don't usually ask that because that can get, but I'm preaching on it now. Why? Why do we ask people for help? I can do it myself. Is that how God created us, though, to walk through life? Because even God said, this is not good. Not good for man to be alone. Some statistics. I don't know if you guys know this. Loneliness is literally making us sick. One of the largest studies ever conducted on social relationships found that people who are chronically lonely or socially isolated have a 26 to 32% higher risk of premature death. So just being alone can cause a quicker onset of death. Now, you take all that, and unfortunately, please don't go into COVID, but at the same time, you can see how much that affected people. A lot of people in nursing homes, I think, died because of isolation. Here's another stat. The U.S. surgeon, this is a long-term study, that they consider loneliness a public health crisis. I'm not talking about obesity or smoking. They actually consider loneliness a public health crisis. And they have now compared it to if you live a lonely life and you have no friends, blah, blah, blah. They've now equaled it to smoking 15 cigarettes a day on your health. It's equivalent. Now, if I were to say, hey, be lonely or have 15 cigarettes, you'd be like, I'll take loneliness. But now they're going, that's actually equally as harmful as 15 cigarettes. I would never have 15 cigarettes a day. But yet people would choose loneliness. Like, this is real stuff. And then we wonder why our containers are full and we don't know how to empty them. Because that's really what we've been talking about. Karen did such a wonderful job last week on boundaries. We have to set boundaries. And if we're going to take that into boundaries, one of the things we have to say is sometimes we need boundaries in one area so we can actually have life in another. Right? No, very serious. Everybody's looking at me very serious. We're all coming over after, Krista. They're all coming over. We're going to have dinner together and become friends. I lost my track. Yeah, that was a squirrel. 15 cigarettes, lonely. Nobody's carrying our burdens. Okay, back. We already said this. Our culture is more digitally connected than ever before, but more lonely than ever before. I had other stats. We don't need to go into them. I think we understand. I go back to how interesting it is, and I want to go to Galatians in a second, because before man ever knew that he was lonely, God picked up on the fact that he would be lonely and said, it's not good for man to be alone. And I dream of things. I dream of a church, you know, especially lately, I dream of a church that we can be a church that knows how to worship, a church that knows how to pray, a church that sees miracles, but I also dream of a church that knows how to rest. A church that has strong relationships. A church where people have enough capacity to take people in to love on them. And I think the only way we're going to need to get to these three is we actually have to set boundaries in our life to allow it to happen. Now, I had to do something a while back, and I don't want you to think about if I was thinking about you. Don't do that. But it'd be interesting for you to think about this. But I was trying to find people that I could maybe use in a certain area. And you know what's interesting? That as I thought through this specific area that I could need people, the thought that kept coming to mind is, I can't ask them, they're overloaded. I know what's going on. I can't ask them, they're overloaded. And the reality is, a lot of us, we could probably say that about ourselves. I can't do that. I'm overloaded. Anybody want to admit that? Overload's on your door. I would love to, but I can't. You know, sometimes boundaries, I'd love to, but I can't. I'm not going to. But sometimes I would love to, but I can't. Like, you see my overload, right? Well, no, I actually don't see your overload because you probably have a lot of things going on internally that we've never talked about. In Galatians, turn with me to Galatians. Galatians 6. Did you use this on Friday, Karen? A little bit, yeah. May have to have you preach that one day. It was so good, I hear. Although, a couple people said they wanted to go shopping for new suitcases, so. I don't know what that's all about. Galatians 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what the law of Christ is? He does have a law. Love one another. The law of Christ is love. And so when he says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law, so fulfill love. We love each other by helping carry each other's burdens. It is interesting. I went a little further because it says load. And when I looked it up, load is the things that you should normally be doing that you carry, like life. So if somebody says, hey, can you help carry my burden? Can you cut my grass for me? I'd be like, nope, that's your load. But there's burdens that I have that I need help with. Now, it could be my mom has a bum knee and she couldn't do something. That becomes a burden. But a lot of times, a little bit of a rabbit trail, people want helps with their load, but we're here to help with people's burdens, okay? So we could get overloaded with that. And it's interesting that a load for one person becomes a burden for another. My neighbor, single mom, somebody else does that, it's their load, but sometimes as a single mom, it becomes overload and it becomes a burden. You follow me? Okay. It says that we carry each other's burdens. One of the things I try to tear down often in this church is that you and I have to be perfect. I put myself in there too. I'm supposed to be perfect, they say, but get to know me and you'll find out I'm not. But when we have this facade that we have to be perfect, then we can't tell each other when we struggle, because we're supposed to be perfect. And if you can't tell somebody your struggles, how can they ever help you carry your burden? And there's scriptures about praying for one another, walking with one another, building the person back up after a fall. If nobody knows what you're going through, how can they ever walk with you through something? So I have a dream that we'll be different. You know, it's hilarious. We all do it everywhere we go, including church. I go to get groceries. How you doing today? Doing great. How about you? Fantastic. Now, it's awkward. I don't necessarily say that you should go and unload on the person. My day is terrible. You want to hear? They'd be like, oh, God, why did I ask? It'd be great, though, if somebody said, hey, my day is okay. I'm struggling a little bit. And then I would say to that, oh, thanks for letting me know. I'll pray for you as I remember you throughout my day. That person would be probably pretty excited for that. When's the last time you got on your phone and you texted somebody and you said, hey, would you do me a favor? I'm struggling today. Keep me in your prayers. Have you done that? When's the last time you called somebody and said, hey, can we go for coffee? I just need to talk. I need to share what's on my heart. Do you have people you can do that with? Because that's the first question. And if you don't, how do you find those people? How do you find somebody safe that you can say, hey, I do have some burdens here. You know, there's things that a health concern can be a real burden. Some of your commitments, people may not be able to help you with them, but they could probably say, hey, I don't think you need to be doing that. Maybe you should have a boundary. Aging parents. There's enough people in here that have aging parents that if you don't already, you guys should be going out together and talking and going, hey, do you guys have any strategies or can we just talk? Because this is a lot. I just, is this happening in your life too? Oh yeah, I'm having that. How do you cope? Or you know what? You just laugh. Because there is no solution, but you go, you're in this together, so you just laugh. And sometimes laughter is the best medicine, right? Kids' activities, that's yours. Oh, yeah, work, that's yours too. Financial pressure, that's yours. But you could get a hold of somebody. There are some very brilliant people in here that know how to use finances. It would be wise if you are overloaded in that area to go and have a coffee with somebody and say, hey, I notice you seem to be really good with finances. I notice that I'm not. I really need some advice. Perfect. Bills, that's on you. Family responsibilities, that's on you. I thought you could answer for me, apparently not. And then you get into these thoughts. Yeah, that's on you because it's in you. It's in your head. But those are certainly things that you could get a hold of somebody and go, hey, I'm struggling in my head. I think I have some strongholds that I need help tearing down. Why don't we do that? Maybe you do, but why don't we do that if you don't? What's that? Pride? Yeah, we're doing a session on that and Thrive. We're trying. Pride. Let's just go there for a second. It's only 11:30. We'll do communion in a minute. Let's just take that rabbit trail. Why do we have pride when we're struggling? This is the community side of our discussion. Because I look weak. And I'm not supposed to look weak because culture tells me I'm not supposed to look weak. I'm supposed to have it all together all the time. Imperfection. So I'm not perfect? Tammy, are you saying I'm not perfect? What's that? Not till I get to heaven. Well, if we believe what we're supposed to be, and by the way, as your pastor, can I confess something? I feel like you think I'm supposed to be. That's in my head. It hits me a lot that we're supposed to be as leaders perfect. You know, the Bible never said that. Pride. It is. It's at the center of everything. We think that we're supposed to have it all together. Because Bob down the road can do all this. And here's the other thing. Bob can multitask and carry 4,400 pounds. Now, maybe he can. Maybe he even should because God built him that way. But did God build you that way? Because I'm not built that way. Some people are. Some people are called to levels in your leadership, and they are built to have capacity. But did you know that you may not be? And that is okay. It's like, what was I reading the other day? Or somebody said it, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe you, did you say last week about a fish in a tree or something like that? Fish in a tree? See, I'm reading a lot. We wonder why a fish in a tree struggles. It's in the wrong place. That's the point. And sometimes we think we're supposed to be that fish in the tree. Well, we're in a tree and we think we're trying to be a monkey and we're a fish. We're supposed to swim. Find your lane. Find your... It's just these lies and pride. But let me wrap this up with... It is beautiful that we get to sit with the Lord. We literally, because of the cross, have the garden again. I hope you know that. You get to sit with the Lord and you get to talk with him. But I do want to say this. If you think that is enough, then you have to disagree with God, because he said it's not good for man to be alone. Even in the garden, he said that. So he literally built us with a need for each other. It's in our DNA. It's in our spiritual DNA. It's in our physical DNA. We need each other. And if you're one of those people that say, I just do well on my own, ask your wife. Ask a neighbor. Or just have a deep conversation with yourself. So, church, can we be a place where we can do life together? To carry each other's burdens. You can't all know each other's things, and that's called gossip anyway. But if you can't find one or two people to be able to share your life with, or you don't, if you don't have that, I encourage you to go on a journey to start today. And the ingredient that we all need in here, if we're going to go on a journey like this, is you have to be a trustworthy person of integrity. Because if you share, if you get somebody's burden, and the next thing you know, you're sharing so they can pray with somebody else. You know what I mean by sharing to pray, right? I'm just going to tell you this because I know we all need to pray, but can I tell you what happened with Sue that told me something? I can't believe this. And you tell Sue and because you want them to pray. No, it's called gossip. We're just trying to make it spiritual. You're following me, right? Because a lot of people do that. I'm just telling you this so you can pray. No, you want to get it off your chest, and it's not yours. You can't share that. So look for people. Here's my homework for you. Find one person. Start thinking and finding one person, and your homework is call that person and go out for a coffee. And let me say this, unless I'm your friend, it's not me. Why did I say that? Well, I'll just call Jay and go over coffee with my pastor. No. All these texts are popping up. Slot me in for coffee. Listen, if you have nobody else, yes. But that's not the point. The point is to begin to find people. I'm going to say one more thing. We're going to close with communion. I know I've said that. Shh. My kids sometimes keep track. Hey, you only said it four times today. Young people, 50 and down, and especially young adults. If you're saying that you don't have friends, watch who walks through this door. Because I'm hearing this a lot from people. I'm struggling to have friends. We have new people walking through these doors on a regular basis. Like Josh, Katie, I don't know where your wife went. You guys, just getting to know you a little bit. He pulled me over in the parking lot. He's a police officer. He didn't pull me over. You guys are slow today. I saw a police car. He pulled in and we had a talk. Loving and getting to know you. I've, you know, spent all of 10 minutes, but I love what I'm getting as I get to know you guys. If you're in his age bracket and you have kids in their age bracket, go out for breakfast. Because one of these days, it may just be a, hey, get to know you. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh my gosh, we fit. Like, we could be friends. And then all of a sudden, you have a friendship. Like, I want to be so counterculture in this church because church, normally you come in, you sit down, you say hello to somebody, and you walk out. I will not let that happen here. I'm going to force you guys to get to know each other. Why? Because it's God's design. There may come a time it's going to be like, you don't go to that church because if you go to that church, you're going to have friends. Like, but we need each other. So when you see a couple that walk through the door, young people, and you're like, they're my age bracket, I want you to start going out and asking them for breakfast, coffee. Okay? The older people are already doing coffee, and I hope the older people ask the new ones that walk through the door. But you guys are doing, what do you guys go to? Rose's Kitchen. And then you get to love on Rose's staff there. But we need this more often. And when you go there, you know what you're not going to talk about? Yell it out. Anything? Church. Politics. Anything else that's controversial? Hey, tell me about your life. You got how many grandkids? That's so cool. Tell me about your grandkids. Talk about things that matter. We good?
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.